It's time to get up and get your day started.
Get up! Get up!
It's Sports 56 Mornings with Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Good morning, everyone!
Good morning!
Morning!
Good morning!
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, the first hour of Sports 56 Mornings is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Now, here are your hosts, Greg and Eli.
What's happening, good people? Memphis and the Mid-South, welcome into Sports 56 Mornings on this Tuesday, May 19th, 2026. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you, broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, they got the Memorial Day sale going on right now, getting you set for summer, which is right around the corner. Check them out at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Going to have another hot one today. 75 degrees right now, already feels like 80. It'll get into the upper 80s. However, there is a good chance that we will have a thunderstorm this afternoon, possibly thunderstorms tonight as well. And for the next few days, it looks like rain is in the forecast. A very high percentage today, tomorrow, and even higher on Thursday and Friday. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Saturday looks to be okay right now before more rain on Sunday. That time of the year, you never know, but it may not be an all-day affair, so schedule accordingly. Hour number one of the program is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery. They're located at 305 South Front Street. If you've not been down there, what are you waiting for? It is a really cool place. The distillery bar is fantastic. It's something like you see in a major city in Chicago or New York, a big, giant city around the world. It's that cool of a place. And right there, it overlooks where they manufacture all this delicious spirits like the Tennessee whiskey, the bourbon whiskey, the Honeybell citrus vodka, and the Formula 10 gin. It's right there. You could also take a tour, a guided tour, and taste some of these great spirits, award-winning craft spirits. Swing by for a pregame cocktail, for a nightcap. It just makes sense after you have dinner downtown or see a show to stop by the Old Dominic Distillery and the Distillery Bar. Check them out online at olddominic.com. Old Dominic Distillery, come for the spirit, stay for the experience. Cheers to Memphis. We have an abbreviated show today. We won't have our normal 3 hours. We'll have only 2 hours. We'll be with you from 7 until 9, and then we'll hand things off to David Kellum and the gang as he'll have the call of Ole Miss Baseball. They begin the SEC tournament in Hoover by taking on the Missouri Tigers. That'll be a 9:30 start, but a 9 o'clock pregame show. And again, we'll have it for you right here on Sports 56, 98.5 FM. On the program today, Connor O'Gara joins us in about 20 minutes. Mickey Barker, who normally joins us at 9:05 on Tuesday during the golf season, will join us at 8:05. We also have Humdinger's trivia for you. And we'll take your calls and texts on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener lines at 901-360-8255. NBA, and what a game last night. We will talk about that. Plenty of college football news, and it's more in the courts than it is, obviously, on the field because it's the offseason. As I mentioned, we got baseball galore with Major League Baseball, a near no-no last night. SEC Baseball Tournament, the American Conference Tournament, and the University of Memphis will tip off tomorrow, and we had an unbelievable finish to a series in the Stanley Cup playoffs. All that coming up on the program today. How's it going?
Very good.
It was a late one for everybody last night, but man, it was worth it.
Man, what a game. That's as good as it gets. That's we've had a lot of blowouts and everything else through the playoffs. Everybody's kind of been waiting for this series to happen, and Act One did not disappoint. That was just some spectacular stuff.
Yeah, the only thing that would have been better if it was a Game 7, but it was a Game 1, and it was a thriller. Double overtime, the Spurs, who had won 4 out of 5 against the Thunder during the regular season, open up with a win in OKC, 122-115. The youngest starting five in NBA Finals history for the Spurs, with the ages of 20, 21, 25, 24, and 22. No De'Aaron Fox, and they still get the dub. Jay Ham, I know you and I stayed up a lot later than we normally do because it was worth it.
Well worth it, and I really want a petition to the NBA that we can make this series the best 5 of 9. Extend this one a little bit more. If we're going to get more games like this, and I really believe all of them will be pretty much like this. Just to borrow your tweet, this game should be put in a time capsule, and it should.
It was so – now, granted, my memory becomes a little cloudy as I get later in my life. I don't remember all the great games I've watched, and I've been watching for decades. But in recent memory, that's about as good a game as I've watched. It's so exciting. Every single play down the court. I mean, Oklahoma City playing the defense that they do, they're smothering. Yet you saw Wemby just absolutely dominate. He made a statement. He absolutely, with his play, made a statement that, okay, SGA got the MVP for a second straight year. He's a great player. But I'm the best player. And last night, he was the best player. 41 points, 24 rebounds, and 3 blocks. I think it was Tirico that said it during the broadcast. He said these are Wilt Chamberlain-like numbers. These are the numbers those guys, when there was dominant centers like Bill Russell and Wilt and early Jabbar, and they would put up those numbers, and you go, how is that even possible? A lot tougher today, but Wemby showed that it is possible. He was fantastic. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, they kept battling. They would take a lead. They would fall behind. Let's be honest. If it were not for Alex Caruso, I don't think this game would have went to overtime. I don't even know if it would have been particularly close. Give credit to the bald-headed guy. He was incredible himself. 31 points, hit 8 of 14 threes. SGA struggled. He was 7 of 23 from the field, still at 24 points. But for him, it wasn't his A game. Jalen Williams coming back from injury looked pretty good with 26 points. But give credit to guys like Stephon Castle and every role player that the Spurs played in this game, from the sixth man of the year, Keldon Johnson, to Dylan Harper, a rookie from Rutgers, getting the start because of the De'Aaron Fox injury. Vassell, Champagne, all these guys just contribute. Carter Bryant gave him 14 strong minutes. And remember, this bench is not deep. It's deeper if Fox starts and then you have Harper coming off the bench. But it's not deep. Whereas the Oklahoma City Thunder bench, they go 12-13. They could put in their 12th and 13th guys and not lose much. That's how good they are. This is just an incredible win. And Eli, one of the most incredible individual game performances that we have seen in a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, he is, again, people have used alien, freak, whatever it is. It's hard to describe him. I mean, the 28-foot shot, like, just, first of all, to even take that shot at that moment, like, just to be, just.
No
that,
hesitation.
That confident in transition to just launch, and like it was like literally looking like Steph Curry almost from the exact same spot where Steph Curry made a shot on that very court. Like when he let it go, I'm like, whoa. And then, I mean, to make that shot in that moment, like, as young as all of these guys that we've talked about, they don't have the playoff experience, and not, it did not show at all. They looked, I mean, Dylan Harper, again, he's blown my mind, quite frankly, through the playoffs. And like that dude, the idea that this is his rookie year, first time he's ever been in the playoffs, here, game one on the road in that atmosphere against the defending champions, and they don't really blink. Like, there's not much. Like, it was amazing. I mean, the fact that there's a few things that Oklahoma City has to figure out, and Dagnall talked about afterwards. One thing about that team is they are very good at problem solving. First of all, Hartenstein can't be on the court with Wembanyama, because Wembanyama then just completely roams free because they don't even acknowledge Hartenstein on the offensive end. So they can't, and they made that adjustment at the start of the game immediately. They realized we can't have him out there because Wembanyama is not going to guard him, and then we got a real problem. Wembanyama is going to roam anyway defensively. With Hartenstein on the floor, he has freedom to do it because you know Hartenstein isn't going to score. when these, and for SGA, again, he saw it with the Lakers, and they're doing a lot of the same thing. They're just going to keep running double teams at him to try and get the ball out of his hands as much as possible. And it's like, and it's, can they figure out how to then get him in spots where either he can make the moves quicker. We saw some of those where, the, especially late in the game, where he had the two layups to tie it, get the ball out of his hands, get it to him where he can then make the quick move before they can run a double team and do anything to him. Now, you still got to worry about Wembanyama at the back line of that defense, all of that stuff. But, I mean, they're, you know, Carter Bryant did an amazing job on him in one-on-one defense. That zone, he's got to figure out the zone defense, all of those things. But, again, when you've got Wembanyama roaming around defensively, it makes life hard on any team to try and figure out what you can do, because every time you go towards the basket at all, you have to think, where is that dude, and is he coming to block my shot?
So there was the play in double overtime late where SGA did not get doubled because Wembanyama, a very intelligent move, he saw that Holmgren would have been wide open for a three, and they were up two. The last thing you want to do is give up a three and lose the game, basically. And SGA saw that. That's how smart he is. And he went to the hole because there wasn't the backline help on that play. That was a key play.
That was regulation.
That was regulation?
Yeah.
Okay. But either way, he's going to try to exploit when he doesn't see Wemby coming over. But for the most part, Wemby was over there. Or they double-teamed him. They made it extremely hard. Chet Holmgren has to be better. Chet Holmgren has to be an all-star type player like he is. He can't be completely taken out of the game, and he was. I can tell you this. This was definitely in overtime, late in overtime, when instead of Holmgren trying to defend Wembanyama, it was Alex Caruso who was doing everything for that team. I mean, he ended up being the guy defending Wembanyama. He's 6 foot five. Holmgren's 7 foot one. He was over there covering somebody else.
Well, he didn't guard him most of the night.
I don't get it.
They used Dort. They used Jalen Williams. Yeah. And that's what I
can understand to a certain extent if you're going to like double team him and you're running Dort and Caruso at him. But if you're going to just stay true to yourself, have a 7 foot one guy guard him.
No, make him step over you. He's going to have a harder time trying to operate if he has to step over people as opposed to beating them off the dribble or whatever the case. When you have smaller guys, they can move their feet like Caruso, like a Lou Dort, that's just crafty. It works.
They're trying. Yeah,
it works. They gave up 41 points.
They're trying to get underneath him. Yeah. And so, but again, when he's
it didn't work.
When he's on the post, you have no chance. Because we saw where he just catches it and lays it in.
The dude's 7 foot one.
My thing is, Holmgren was second in defensive player of the year voting. Mm-hmm. If you're second in defensive player of the year voting, you have to guard Victor Wembanyama.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
He did come up with the big stop, which it was
That was help defense,
right. You know, with on the one on the block at the end of regulation. But a large part of that was Caruso getting his hand on the ball that delayed the attempt to go up that allowed Chet to go over and get the block.
Look, Caruso was great. It was absolutely great. But if you got a 7 foot one, as you said, defensive player of the year runner up, not guarding Wembanyama, I don't know what we're talking about here. Oklahoma City's going we've already crowned Oklahoma City to be this dynasty. Let me tell you something. They're not winning the series unless Holmgren figures out something and they figure out something on defense.
And I like our logic with that because I took the same logic. I remember when Toronto and Milwaukee played in 19. Giannis was not guarding Kawhi. And I'm like, why is the defensive player of the year not guarding the best player on the other side?
Like, I get it. Like, you may not ask him to guard in the entire game because it's hard.
But
like, he's not in foul trouble. Like, in those moments, like, dude, if you're that good defensively, if he's the only better defensive player in the league than you, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out a way.
Look, Wemby's got go-go gadget arms, but so does Holmgren. He's long, and he's not. I'm watching Caruso try to climb a ladder to defend Wembanyama, and that most of the game when he was in there, and then in the double overtime, he had that big, he dunked it over him.
Yeah, they did the same thing with Caruso, like when he guarded Jaren in the series last year. He just frustrated him, stayed up underneath him.
Nothing cracks me up more than when they lob it to Wembanyama and he does the one-handed catch, and like, it's just like a kid on a Nerf hoop.
Like the Nerf.
He just one hand, just reach up. Like the one he was literally, Holmgren had a hold of his arm, and he still just uses his other arm, grab the ball, and like dunk it. You're like, dude, that's like not supposed to be possible. That's an NBA basketball, not a little Nerf basketball. It's an NBA basketball. You're just grabbing with one hand and laying it in over the top of everybody like it's nothing. It's just one, insane.
One game does not make a series. But here's a team lacking playoff experience, goes into the home of the defending champions. They don't have De'Aaron Fox, so all of a sudden now they're even less. They have less of a bench. De'Aaron Fox would have started, and Harper would have come off the bench. So Harper, a rookie forced to start, who, as you said, Eli, was fabulous. In 47 minutes, Harper turned it over one time. But you're going in, you're playing the defending champions, all that experience. You don't have De'Aaron Fox. You turn the ball over as a team 21 times. Now, Harper only turned it over one time. Castle turned it over 11 times. Not a great ball handler, but he has great instincts. And he had 11 assists. And it's, you know, a little bit easier when you throw it up to Wembanyama and get those assists. But he had 11 turnovers. They had 21 turnovers, as I said, whereas Oklahoma City only had 14. And you still won the game. You still beat them.
And it was like throughout the night, whenever the Spurs would go up 8-10, it still felt like it was a one-possession game.
Yeah. And it's like every time they did, there somebody would make a three for Oklahoma City. They struggled so much shooting threes, but then if they got down double digits, somebody would hit a three. The one I don't understand with all of the options they have, honestly, why Lu Dort starts for Oklahoma City. I know he's a great defensive player. All those guys are defensive players.
You nothing
and they all are way better offensive
great.
Players.
Yeah,
I think they just let him just do his work. Just to start out. He might not finish all of them, but he'll start it.
And that thing, like, yeah, that's the guy. He ended up playing. He played a lot less minutes than right. other guys.
He played
did.
22.
But I don't, like, because the thing is, and again, I would not start Hartenstein at all. You can't have him and Wembanyama out there. It's impossible. But if you're giving them two guys who aren't real threats offensively, it allows Wembanyama to just roam freely and do whatever. You need at all times four other guys who can shoot the basketball around SGA. So that if Wembanyama is going to protect the paint, that means one of those guys is open at all times.
It reminded me of when when the Thunder played Memphis in 2014 when they had Thabo Sabolosha. And Thabo was starting, but he wasn't an offensive threat. But when they came back and Scott Brooks inserted Caron Butler in, like, game six, it changed everything. That opened up Durant. That opened up Westbrook. And it had the Grizzlies pretty much kind of shuffling back because now they're not guard. They're not having to – they don't have this dude on the floor that they don't have to worry about it anymore. An offensive threat now.
Like, Cason Wallace is a great defender who can actually step up and make a shot. Like, you got to worry. Like, I don't like any of those guys. McCain, Mitchell, all these guys, like – the little bit I might lose defensively, I'm not. I need the offense because I got to keep Wembanyama honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you better. But
Caruso did it last night. Obviously, you know, if Caruso's doing that, you obviously put him in there in place of him because Caruso was absolutely amazing. But I'm interested to see the adjustments what they make lineup wise going forward. Now seeing that, like, how the Spurs are going to play them defensively and try and let Wembanyama roam defensively.
Because the game's not muddy enough to keep Lou in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Spot, you know?
You have to have your best rebounders in there. They got out-rebounded 61-40. Wembanyama obviously is a machine. You got to have some rebounders in there. You have to have the ability to at least at times get a second chance. Because if you're one and done every time down the court, you're dead. You're not winning this series. You have to have the ability to get some rebounds. They're out-rebounded by 21, for goodness sakes. Three-point shooting, they actually outshot. They outshot San Antonio. 17 made threes out of 45 is 38%. San Antonio was 13 of 43 for 30%. So they shot the ball better from the outside. They made more threes. They got clobbered on the boards. They got to have rebounding in there. But you're right. The adjustments that he has to make now. He has to make some really good. Remember, Jalen Williams was back in the starting lineup. He hadn't played in a while, and A.J. Mitchell had been starting. But Jalen Williams didn't seem like he missed a beat. I know at times they were saying it looked like he was maybe limping a little bit. I didn't notice that, but he played 37 minutes. He had 26 points. There's another example of hey, the guy just came back from injury. We'll give him a minutes restriction. No, it's the postseason. There's no minutes restriction. There's nothing like that. It's a make-believe thing that they have in the NBA regular season. But I don't know. I still expect the Thunder to win the series. I do. But Wembanyama, you talk about the best player on earth. We were saying it was Jokic, and then, of course, SGA wins back-to-back MVPs. Come on, man. Look at that. We just witnessed that. We witnessed a guy that big who can dribble the ball that well and is not gawky and all this. I mean, what? It's crazy. I mean, the days of Sean Bradley and Manute Bol are long gone. You got guys this tall that have point guard ability? What are we watching here?
When you watch him play and you're like, that dude's only 22 years old. Like, he's only going to get better. Like, I don't, like, it is a scary thought. Like, there is no way to guard him. Again, the dude pulled up from 28 feet in transition to tie the game in with 27 seconds
left. That was sick.
Like,
that was sick.
Not even a thought. Just got the ball, boom. I'll hit this shot. Like, I can do that while meanwhile grabbing balls with one hand and dunking them on people that are way too small. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how much better he can get, but he's only 22 years old. He's going to get better. I don't know what you do. And then when you watch Dylan Harper and you're like, man, and that dude's only going to get better. And you watch these guys, you start thinking about, What are we doing against this team? Like, how in the world does this, like, you look at the next 10 years of what it could be for them, it is a scary, scary thought.
I'll bring this up again. How in the world did a team with Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey not make the NCAA tournament with 68 teams going to 76? I mean, what?
At least get to the first round.
I mean, seriously, Dylan Harper looks like a 10-year veteran.
He's completely unbothered, unfazed. He laughs and smiles in adversity.
Yeah. You know? Even when he got the one and Josh was like screaming at me, he still doesn't look like it really affects him. Like, he just seems calm as hell. Like, okay, I screwed up, whatever.
He had a play in the fourth quarter where he was breaking his man down and he lost the dribble, lost his balance, slipped, got it back, slipped again, lost the basketball, got fouled, and they panned over to Miss Johnson. Miss Johnson just kind of laughed and was like,
and he almost made the shot left-handed. He flipped it up there left-handed and it almost went in. I was like, what in the world does that do? Like, that's unbelievable. Like, you would think just freak out mode of like, oh my God, I'm screwing this up. Like, that's the thing. Like, A.J. Mitchell took one horrendous shot on that. When they took the lead, they had a one-point lead, they got the steal, and he comes down in transition and just fires a three with like a minute and a half to go. I'm like, what are you doing?
Heat check style.
I'm like, what? Like, yeah, heat check without – he had never been turned on. The heat had never been turned on. He hadn't done anything all night, and he just comes down and throws up a three. I'm like, what in the world are you doing right now? Like, and then SGA made a terrible decision on the one fast break where he tried to score himself.
Where go to Caruso.
All he had to do was just give the ball to Caruso. And if nothing else, Caruso can give it back. But you got Wembanyama back. You can't be trying to go one-on-one against him.
The other thing, and I know we got to take a break, we'll be joined by Connor O'Gara on the other side. And I think we talked about this the other day. You may have brought it up, Jahan, is that we are back into the era of the big man. For a while there, we got away from it.
But it's a different big man.
It's a different big man, but it's the era of the big man. You better have a couple of bigs on your roster. Oh, yeah. When you see what is going on in college, mm-hmm. we saw it, and what you're seeing in the NBA now. Now, look, Wemby's a freak. We know that. Right. And I know sometimes we use that term loosely. He's a legitimate freak, right? He is something you've never seen. But to have Holmgren, Hartenstein, to have these teams that have these multiple guys. That's why I think a guy like Mara is going to go up in the draft. You're going to see him picked in the top 10. We saw what he did with Michigan with Johnson next to him. That's what you need now, I think, in the NBA. Hour number one of the program, again, brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery. Go to the website, olddominic.com. They list all of their whiskey and spirits that are available, list of all their signature cocktails, and really, you can find instructions, because I always, I don't know if I can make a drink the right way. They give you the instructions on how you can make all these drinks using the Old Dominic Spirits. That's online at olddominic.com. Again, visit them at 305 South Front Street. They have a great happy hour every Thursday from 4 to 7. Old Dominic Distillery. Come for the spirits,
Stay for the experience. Cheers to Memphis. Connor O'Gara joins us next. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everybody. 7:28 on a Victor Wembanyama Tuesday morning. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham with you. It is fun when we get to talk SEC, college football, and other things with our good friend Connor O'Gara.
It's time to talk some SEC and college football. Joining Greg and Eli is Connor O'Gara, host of the OG Kickoff Podcast, a Double Down and Next Round production. Now, here's Connor with Greg and Eli.
He is Connor O'Gara. He joins us every other Tuesday right here on Sports 56 Mornings. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at CJ O'Gara. Connor, if Eli stood tall and I got on his shoulders and then you got on my shoulders, could we block a shot from Victor Wembanyama?
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say as much as I respect both of your athletic prowess, and think that, you know, we would have some instincts with that increased advantage, I think that it would just be too difficult. And at this point, I think NBA players can be asking that question.
Right.
Because, my goodness, I don't know what you got to do, but throw up your hands and just say, man, dude is just, he's inevitable, and it's pretty crazy what we're seeing.
You know, it's interesting. I was saying earlier, we kind of throw around the sports term freak in a good way. We throw it around pretty often. Javon Kearse, remember him when he came out of Florida, the freak? This guy's a legitimate freak. We have never seen – we've seen tall guys, but we have never seen anything like it. A guy that tall, that athletic, who could basically play point guard. He's like a point center.
You know what's funny is, like, so I'm not left into the NBA, so I'm not watching these games live in the way that a lot of people are. I realize that. So what's actually funnier is I only see what comes out on social media, and you're just led to believe that everything in this day and age is fake. And when you see a picture of something, you assume it's AI, or you assume that someone just photoshopped something from Space Jam. And then you're reminded, oh, no, this is an actual human being that is doing these things in a real athletic event wherein there are huge, huge stakes on the line. And, yeah, I mean, it is pretty wild to see. It does make me want to hold back the nickname of freak. And you're right, Javon Kearse, still a freak, by the way. Had him on the show a couple of years ago and still can absolutely get after it, and was rewatching. We did an Adjustment More podcast on a, you know, game he played his second year of college at Florida against Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And even then, I mean, the nickname still held. But you're right. We do need to probably just maybe once a decade we get to bust it out. And there, that's it. And it's kind of a one-time only thing.
22 years old. He's 22 years old. That's crazy. Just think if he played college. I think if he would have played his 1 year of college, what he would have been at college level.
It would have been ugly. And think of the NIL money that guy would have gotten.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I don't know what that would have looked like, who the highest bidder would have ended up being. I think it would have legitimately started discourse in college basketball in the same way that the UConn women's team did, of this isn't good for the sport. I mean, you know, like we're just watching something that's too dominant and nobody feels like they have a chance and it loses interest. Like, that's how inevitable it would be. But at the same time, doing it against NBA players, it does not have us, you know, giving that kind of reaction, because obviously we know the competition, the defending champs that he's up against. But yeah, guys, it is absolutely insane to think about what awaits this guy and his future, and, you know, hopefully staying healthy for the next 10, 15 years.
Connor O'Gara joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. Okay, there's a million stories away from the playing field. Obviously, we're not playing college football right now. Nothing's going on. But my gosh, every day there's something in the courts or about to be in the courts. And my head's spinning. There's so much stuff going on. All right, let me start with the Dellinger story. More than $100 million of NIL pay that schools guaranteed athletes has gone uncleared. 75% of that from the SEC and the Big Ten.
So Dellinger says that the CSC reform is a decisive issue and that the NCAA breakaway talks are intensifying. What are you hearing about that?
I'm stunned. No way. Like, I can't believe that they set up an enforcement agency and then didn't want to abide by it. I mean, goodness gracious, how else was this going to go? The notion that last year that the CSC was going to come in and drop the hammer and that they were going to run through all these deals, give me a break. It was never going to work like this. And it's funny because it is just essentially shifting blame. And now to see situations where, like, I realized, like, Nebraska had that issue and, you know, didn't get that money cleared. This is just, like, if you're trying to figure out why college sports are where they are, just understand one thing and one thing only. Universities want to keep spending the way that they do in a reckless manner and not have to face the consequences for it or have anything really change about the way that they spend. And anything that they can do that's going to continue to allow them to do so, they're going to do. And that means bending the rules of the CSC, whatever rules that were actually in place, whatever enforcement agency. Apparently there's schools that still haven't even signed this yet. Yeah. So how is this ever going to be taken seriously? And it's not even just breaking away from the NCAA, it's just breaking away from every sort of legislation in general. And it's just going to be, you know, state courts deciding these things one by one. And we'll get things like the Brendan Sorsby case that'll come up. And everybody will just kind of be on their own. And I've kind of just accepted that that's where we're going to be at with college sports. And trying to rule with, you know, an iron fist or whatever and demand change and demand the SCORE Act and hear this and that and the other. I'm just like, we're all wasting our time. Like, you guys realize that, right? Like, this has gotten way too crazy for anybody to think that they can step in and do, even like, oh, a college football commissioner is going to step in. And they're not. They're not. They're not going to adhere to what the presidents and administrators in these massive universities have to do. Like, it's a free-for-all. And I'm not holding my breath on any of it changing.
Well, that it's always amazing. Like, it is the schools who make the rules who then don't want to follow the rules that they make.
Yes. And they only complain about this if they see somebody else doing something that they wish they had done in the first place. Yes. That's what all this comes down to. It's not so much like, oh man, like we really had a crazy year in spending, you know, maybe we need to like just tap in Congress or tap in this entity, this enforcement agency, and see if they can regulate our spending. I think we've gotten out of control. No. It's all about what this person is doing and how they're taking advantage of the system in ways that you can't. And that reality is not going anywhere. It is still going to loom over college sports, and it feels like we're now heading to a place where it's going to be prevalent for the rest of the day.
So there's no answer? I mean, they just keep doing what they're doing forever?
It's federal legislation, but that's what is that ever going to happen?
Well, the problem is that the SCORE Act and like athletes.org, you know, came out and was opposed to it, which is the closest thing right now to what there is to a student athlete union, whatever you want to call it, and because they were largely left out of it. And if you're trying to make this legislation without the input of athletes and without being able to treat athletes as employees and giving them certain rights, having a certain bit of collective bargaining, whatever you want to call it, then you're doing this the wrong way. Like they have become a part of this, and simply going over the top of them and assuming that you can just put in this legislation without having their say in any of it, it's just not going to work. And like we've seen this time and time again. And so like that's the part to me that needs to get figured out. And that part, once that gets figured out, then everybody else can maybe not get on the same page, but at least get closer to it, to at least have that hashed out. Because as long as that is still kind of up for grabs and they're going to have a reason to oppose, you know, cap spending or whatever it's going to be, then you're still going to find a major party in all of this that is resisting. And to me, like that's going to be the biggest domino that's going to have to fall in the next few years.
That's the thing. Without, like, again, making them employees going to collective bargaining, there are too many different interests at play to get everybody onto the same page.
Yeah, exactly. And like, why would an agent just sit on their hands and all of a sudden be like, oh, well, I guess you're limiting how much my guy is going to be able to make. I guess this isn't going to work for us. Oh, well, all right. That's just the way of the world. No, if these last few years have taught us anything, it's that you can pretty much try and make a case against any sort of, you know, enforcement agency that's ruling over you. And that's something to say all of them are going to pass through and all of them are going to work. Lord knows we've seen, cases right now in college basketball where even G League players that are trying to come back are being, you know, turned away at the state court level. So it's not to say it's impossible, but, you know, it is a reminder that everybody's just kind of operating with their own agenda. And right now, so many of those agendas have huge financial stakes, and that's why they're going to continue to fight them until they're told that they can't.
Well, we'll get to the Sorsby thing in just a moment. There's huge stakes at hand for him. But let's talk about the elephant in the room. You talk about not being able to get together these parties. They're all on, you know, their own agendas. Well, they can't get together and decide about the future of the playoff. We know it's going to be 12 this year again. We don't know if it's going to go up to 16. We have no idea if it's going to go to 24. We do know, though, that coaches and ADs of leagues have come out and said they're for the 24, with the exception of Greg Sankey. But we know that ESPN, the all-powerful Oz, has come out and said that they don't want to see the expansion because then Fox would get involved. So where do we stand with that, Connor? Is that going to continue to be an impasse?
Well, I'll say it, and I know everybody's thinking it across college football, and they've had it, you know, in their back pocket for a very long time. But now is finally the chance for them to be able to say it together. SEC, SEC. Like, seriously, if you're a fan of college football and don't want to see this playoff expanded, you better be singing the praises of Greg Sankey, because right now there are too many parties that have just thrown up their hands and said, you know what, nah, 24, let's reap the financial benefits of it, let's fund all of our other programs, let's continue to spend the way that we want to spend, and we'll just kick the can. And we know that there's still going to be, you know, massive TV interest and blah, blah, blah. And nobody is, besides Greg Sankey and ESPN, looking at this going, this could be a really bad idea. And we've never done this before in the history of major sports, where we've just gone 12X on a postseason format in the span of like a decade. Like, what in what world is that just going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll all just adjust? No. Like, there are certain things that you there's a line that you just can't necessarily push. And to see all these different parties, including even Notre Dame, with Pete Pavakwa, the Notre Dame AD, coming out and being like, oh, yeah, I guess we're going to, you know, be in favor of this, and we're going to support the ACC after Jim Phillips comes out and announces that the ACC is in support of this. Like, we're all just led to believe that college football is just going to fix everyone else's problems. And it's not college football's job to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing that I hate more than anything. And yes, you can argue that it's been financially responsible for funding so many of these other things in the past, but that's obviously changed in the rev-sharing era. And so I just hate that it's being used to justify it from that standpoint when, you know, I'm not breaking any news by saying I do worry about the integrity of the regular season and all the different ways in which the sport would be impacted to go 12X on a postseason format that soon.
And there's certainly what you say, I agree, and I do think most people agree with. But don't you feel like Sankey's just doing this more as a negotiating ploy to get a little bit more money for the SEC to make sure they're making up for the loss of the championship game and everything else? And eventually he'll get what he wants to give in and go to 24?
I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, and I know that he's got obviously coaches in the SEC who have spoken out, you know, in favor of 24. Like, yeah, it's definitely not a universal thing. I mean, I don't think it's unanimous within any conference specifically. And like, I guarantee that Greg Sankey has had plenty of administrators and presidents in the SEC being like, man, look at our bottom line if we do this 2014 playoff. Look how this could. And obviously Greg Sankey works for those people. But at the same time, I do think that there is a part of him that's looking at college football going, wait a minute, we're in huge jeopardy of risking the future of this sport by doing this. And if we're all going to assume that college football is going to save everyone else, then don't we need to make sure that the health of the sport is actually in the right place? And yes, there's definitely a bargaining chip to be had for it, but I think him supporting 16 and supporting some form of expansion is still acknowledging that. But yeah, to me, like, there's obviously going to be a lot of people that are just saying like, this just kind of has to happen. This is the way of the sport. But I feel like Greg Sankey and ESPN are the only ones that are looking around going like, guys, we don't have to do this. Like, we don't have to get to this place. There's nothing that's forcing us into 24, which just seems like such an absurd thought. And just it's just maddening to continue to look at the reasons that people are using to justify it.
Yep. Connor O'Gara joining us on the Sissy's Law Cabin Listener Lines. And then the Brendan Sorsby soap opera, my head hurts from yesterday because there was like four different stories. First of all, he filed the injunction against the NCAA, and then I think the school declared him ineligible, but now they're going to court, and it's going to be a judge who is a Texas Tech fan or maybe even alum that's going to look at his case. What is going to come of this? Do you think that, which we have seen before with judges who have had an alliance with a school, vote on their favor for the most part, not all of them, but for the most part. How is this even possible that this guy even has a chance to become eligible for this year? Do you think he will be denied that? What do you think it ends up being for Sorsby?
In my heart of hearts, I think he's going to end up being ineligible just because there's too much stuff. Like, his defense is not particularly good. Like, oh, I bet on Indiana in 2022 to feel closer to my teammates and have stakes. You're admitting to a gambling addiction. This is not like mental health. Yes, we all acknowledge that, but you're admitting, look man, like you've been involved in this for a while and thousands of bets on like Turkish league basketball and the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. This is not just like a couple bets here and there that you can talk your way out of. And so for his legal team to be like, oh yeah, you know what? Like, this is really hypocritical of the NCAA. Look, we all agree there are parts of the NCAA that are totally hypocritical. Maybe there are elements of gambling that are indeed hypocritical with it, with how much they've opened the door for. But if they have a state judge that allows Brendan Sorsby to be able to play football this year, and everybody can see right through, and it's like, hey, this is a guy that's a diehard Texas Tech fan, then just legalize gambling. Yeah. Then just legalize gambling for these college athletes, because if this isn't going to be the thing that a state judge can take off his Red Raider glasses and look at through an unbiased lens, then I don't know what is, because this is just
dead. It's an indictment of our court system. That's what it is.
It would be. It would be an absolute joke. And look, I hope Brendan Sorsby has a good future, and I hope that he has good days of football ahead. I hope he gets this figured out, because if you're placing this many bets, like, this is not nothing. I mean, this is a guy that's like got some serious issues to work through here, and it could actually jeopardize his future, especially as he's continuing to get more and more money. Like, this is before he ever hit it big and got big time money. So to me, like, yeah, this, in my heart of hearts, I don't think he's going to be playing this year. And I think sanity has to win in some part of this, but like, never say never with the way that this is all played out with the state courts.
That's the thing. You can never say never. But the defense of, I did it to feel more connected to my teammates, like, that is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. And to also say, yeah, but we were terrible, so I lost all of the bets anyway.
Because
nothing makes you feel more connected to your teammates than when they keep losing you money because they're terrible.
Well, if you're betting against Joey Chestnut at the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, you are a bad gambler.
Yeah, I don't know who he was betting for or against at Nathan's. I'd like to see what those numbers were. But my goodness, like, yeah, oh, I didn't even make any money. It was basically like, oh, it was kind of like a donation to the team. Like, no, that's not how this works, man. It's just not how any of this works. And so his legal team, they're going to try and find inaccuracies and all of it. And I get it. There's so much money that's on the line. And I do think it's huge for a team that has legitimate national title aspirations. We know Will Hammond, the backup's coming off the torn ACL. Mm-hmm. And this could be a slippery slope for a Texas Tech team that I think has a really worthy competitor in BYU, despite what last year told us. And this could be the difference in BYU, or in Texas Tech, rather, getting to the playoff versus not this year. So I do think that he ultimately will not be able to play, because I think there's too much evidence against him. Mm-hmm. And even a judge like this is going to have to be able to see how obvious this is, that this guy blatantly violated clear and outlined NCAA rules.
You would think so. You would hope so. I know we're completely out of time, but maybe the next time we have you on, because this is not going away yet. If he goes to the supplemental draft, do teams shy away because of the, again, illness that he has of gambling? And then we get into that whole, the mental part of the thing. Does he have a problem as far as that's concerned, which can be, I think, a Pandora's box that opens up if we start to look at those issues as a cover-up every single time that somebody has a legitimate issue mentally. And now for every addiction, we put it under the mental, the category of, you know, it's mental illness. And now we give him a reprieve, or we give any athlete a reprieve. That would just be, I think, absolutely awful if that happened, because that's the excuse that everybody will use moving forward for any kind of issue that they have, any kind of an addiction that they have. Connor O'Gara joins us every other Tuesday. You can check him out with the OG Kickoff podcast on Next Round Live. What do you got coming up?
We had, so last week we had Will Stein, the Kentucky coach. Nice. That episode dropped. So a lot of great things from there. Love his perspective. And then we have Matt Schick coming on this week, who's been at ESPN for a really long time. We actually both worked at this. We both had the same first job out of college, or worked in the same town in Kearney, Nebraska, ironically enough. So we talked about that as well. So that'll be coming out on Thursday morning. And then we're going to dig into, I think we're going to dig into my All Bang the Drum team, which is, you know, me just banging the drum for a lot of different SEC players who are, I think, are being slept on going into the season.
Nice. Well, maybe we'll talk about it next time we have you on, which will be 2 weeks from today. Follow Connor on Twitter at CJ O'Gara. Thank you, Connor.
Gentlemen, appreciate it.
Take care.
Folks, if you're in the market for a new home, maybe you're looking for a new home, maybe you're trying to sell a current home, well, you need a good realtor on your side. You need to give a call to Bubba Sandifer at Emmett Baird Realty, 901-319-0747. If you're looking to buy, Bubba will make sure you find that perfect home for you and your family, get you a great price on that as well. If you're trying to sell, well, he's going to make sure you get the maximum exposure, get top dollar, find serious buyers. If you're trying to get rid of that home very quickly, well, he'll buy it as is for cash as well. So whatever you're looking for in selling a home, Bubba can help take care of it for you. Again, it's Bubba Sandifer with Emmett Baird Realty at 319-0747, 319-0747. Whether you're buying or selling, you want to make sure you get a top realtor on your side, and that's what Bubba will do for you. Bubba Sandifer at Emmett Baird Realty.
This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Available locally on your radio dial as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, it's easy to stay tuned to Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
If wedding bells are in your future, you need an unforgettable engagement ring from a jeweler you can trust. And that's been James Gaddis Jewelers for over 60 years. With a huge selection and the best prices, James Gaddis is a master jeweler and diamondologist. Beautiful jewelry from James Gaddis is always the right choice. Choose from rings to earrings, necklaces to bracelets, and gemstones to watches. Layaway and financing available. James Gaddis Jewelers, 4900 Poplar, online at GaddisJewelers.com and Instagram at Gaddis Jewelers. Say I do at James Gaddis Jewelers.
After a crash, insurance companies want you to settle for less. NST doesn't play that game. For over 35 years, we've won big for Memphis families. Injured, the call is free, and you don't pay unless we win. NST is the way to go. Call 683-7000.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM, this hour is brought to you by Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis. Here once again are Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
That's me in the corner.
As we talked about yesterday, today is going to be a big day for the city of Nashville as the NFL spring meetings are taking place in Orlando, and it is expected sometime early today, the announcement that Nashville will be the Super Bowl site in 2030. They'll be awarded the biggest game there is in sports. So Nashville expecting that announcement. Also, Minnesota is likely to win the honor of hosting the 2028 NFL draft. So those two announcements will happen, are expected to happen sometime today from Orlando. From the college basketball world, and you just wondered where LSU was going to get their players because they have only a couple of guys on their roster since Will Wade took over and that star-studded coaching staff that includes a bunch of guys that have ties to the University of Memphis. Well, LSU, according to reports, have agreed to a $5 million deal with a 25-year-old former NBA draft pick who's about to turn 26 years old. Israeli forward Yam Madar, member of the I don't know, Hapoel Tel Aviv program in Israel, turns 26 in December, was drafted with the 47th pick in the 2020 NBA draft by the Celtics, but never signed with the team. The Celtics actually still own his draft rights, but he's playing college ball, reportedly, with LSU. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I don't, if they put in the, if the 5-for-5 thing gets passed.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering about that too.
It goes into effect for next year. I guess that the decision will have to be made of our guys grandfathered in. I don't have any idea how that's going to work.
I think if you're signed and then they pass this new rule, then you're grandfathered in. I don't think it's fair. But then again, there's people that think it's not fair, first of all, that you have $5 million to give to one player a basketball. We've already heard about all of this in football, which is crazy enough. But $5 million for a guy who was drafted in 2020, for goodness sakes. The COVID year, right? The start of COVID was 2020. I mean, come on. 6'3 guard. He was named the 2023 EuroLeague Rising Star. The 2023. 3 years ago. I guess LSU has to fill their roster some way. And they're doing it spending a lot of money on this player. Last night, Stanley Cup playoffs. We don't talk a lot of hockey here, but we have to talk about this one. In the Eastern Conference semifinals, there is nothing like NHL Game 7 overtime. Because it's one goal, and you win, you move on, you lose if you give up the goal. And that's unfortunately what happened to the Buffalo Sabres back in the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And they lose in Game 7 to the Montreal Canadiens, 3-2 in overtime. The Habs win the series 4-3. And so now Montreal, still alive, a Canadian team, Eli. They have not won. A Canadian team has not won the Stanley Cup since Montreal back in 1993, 33 years ago. But to be able to win the cup, they're going to have to beat, first of all, the Carolina Hurricanes, who I don't think have played in 2 weeks after disposing of my Flyers. And then they would have to beat them and then play the Western Conference champs. And that series begins, I think, Wednesday, tomorrow, Colorado versus Las Vegas. So an uphill climb for Montreal, but they get it done. They beat Buffalo in an exciting finish in Game 7 of their Eastern Conference semifinal. Folks, take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis, a revolutionary basketball training facility. They have two locations, the original in Collierville and then the big 50,000-square-foot facility. That's in Cordova. Two NBA regulation-sized courts, three high school-sized courts, four shooting bays with Shoot 360 technology. This is for basketball players of all ages, and memberships are now on a monthly basis. You can become a member at both locations if you like. Whether you're an aspiring young talent, not expiring, NBA player, or looking for a unique workout, all skill levels are welcome at Shoot 360 Memphis to learn proper shooting and passing techniques, and you can do so having fun, having a good time, and then you can gain that competitive edge. The one-on-one expert coaching comes from coaches that have been at every single level. And when you get into one of these shooting bays, that Shoot 360 technology, there's nothing like it. You're getting instant analytical feedback every time you put up a shot. So why not join for a month? Try it out. If you don't like it, you're only in for a month. But I'm telling you, you're going to fall in love with it at Shoot 360 Memphis. Give them a call or stop by in Collierville, 85 Market Street. That number is 901-316-5500. Ask for a tour. In Cordova, 901-779-3176. They're located on Big Orange Road. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis. Again, abbreviated show, hour two on the way. Normally, Mickey Barker would join us at 9:05. He'll be joining us after the break. But before that, it's Humdinger's Trivia, so stay tuned for that. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.